T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome in to this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM, and.com. Mark Menard at Master Control, I salute you, sir. Thank you. Along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrett. Good to have you aboard here till 7 o'clock tonight. We'll hand things off to the Will Wade Show. LSU basketball, trying to make the NCAA tournament. Have they done enough? Are they doing enough? And what's the path? We'll talk about that later with Jerry Palm, bracketologist, as we break down the NCAA men's basketball tournament. But first, what does your gut tell you about NFL stadiums this fall? Will they be full, half full? You tell us at 504-260-1870. And Bobby, based on science and based on what they're telling us, and I'm talking about those that are the scientists and even President Joe Biden saying that he feels like there's going to be enough Americans vaccinated by July, by this summer. So that's a promising outlook considering fans might be in the stands at football games, in particular in the NFL. At a greater capacity than we saw than last year, and that's a positive sign. Maybe they're half full. Maybe they're completely full.
Nah, I think more they're shooting for 75%. So what would they be? You look at the dome, 40-something thousand plus. It'd be almost like a home crowd when the Saints are winning about 3 games a year. They had 45,000 in attendance, and they were 3-13. So I think it's going to be initially that type of crowd as far as fan attendance. Did you hear, it just seems like we're more proactive in the Deep South or, let's say, an SEC compared to California, New York, as far as fan attendance. Texas A&M said they're expecting a full house. Christian, that's 100,000 people. And the thing is, they said, well, how you enforce this? They could have 100,000 fans if that goes according to plan, but you still got to wear a mask. Who's going to be the mask?
You're not going to be able to.
Who's going to be the mask police for 100,000 folks? That'll be interesting to see how that would unfold.
As we've learned throughout this pandemic, there's been some really good ideas, but impossible to enforce.
Yeah.
So
I guess you warn someone. And then, you'd have to have probably 3 or 4 times security. You weren't, so they put your mask on, and then they, I'm sorry, I forgot. Then they put it on, but then if they don't, what do? Then you got to kick them out.
Just have a drink in your hand the whole time. You don't have to wear your mask.
Well, I'm drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that's something. What
or I'm eating, I'm eating my hot dog, whatever it might be. But, Christian, it's very similar if you look, starting tonight. Also, the number of fans allowed to attend a Pelicans game is going up once again. Starting tonight, 2,700 fans will be allowed inside the Smoothie King Center. Now, the ultimate goal for the Pelicans and the organization is to increase the capacity to 4,000 fans as the season progresses. So that's encouraging because you look, that number increased from 1,440 fans at the end of January and now rising again Wednesday night when the Pelicans face the Detroit Pistons. So that is exciting. And you look at, what home games we have recent coming up. The Pelicans have 4 more home games before the All-Star break. They go on a 2-game road trip following Wednesday night's game against the Pistons. They will then host the Jazz, who's leading as good as it gets right now in the NBA. But I wish we had that kind of team, the consistency what they're putting forth in this NBA season. We're playing the Jazz on March the 1st, Chicago Bulls on March 3rd, and then Miami Heat on March 4th. So I'm expecting in those games to have 2,700 fans. And you know, even though it's been up and down, it's been an unbelievable roller coaster for the Pelicans. It's like, I don't know how to even evaluate. I don't know if I've ever seen the Pelicans, like, how did they lose that game? They not only lost, they got waxed. You look at the Suns game. Then they come back against the Celtics, the greatest comeback in the franchise history, you know, down 24 points. So who knows? I guess that's very entertaining and keep your interest. But if you look at it right now, only 2.5 games out of 8th place in the West this year, and you look at the teams in 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th place, each conference is going to compete with a play-in tournament to determine which teams get the final two playoff spots. So I would expect, even at all that adversity, that the Pelicans could be in that number and just be in that playoff game, the NBA version. So, you know what, I didn't realize this. The season is slated, the NBA right now, to play 72 games. The NBA has yet to release the second half of the team schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually you come out with a schedule.
Mark's saying out.
It's out, Mark?
Mark is saying it's out. So we'll get after we take a break.
Yeah, because, you know, when you think about you're going to play the season, you come out with the schedule, and I think I might have read this yesterday or a day before, but I was saying, whoa, I didn't realize that they didn't even have the second half of the schedule. But, Mark, you said they have come out with it?
We'll get through it.
Okay.
We'll step away and come back. We're just getting started here on Sports Talk on WWL. The second half of the NBA schedule is out, in particularly the New Orleans Pelicans schedule. We know who they'll play after March, the first week of March. We bring in Mark Menard at Master Control. It just came out. Mark, give us a couple of the highlights and who they're going to be playing, some key dates.
Well, they're going to be on national television another 9 times. You know, the people, there's some fans out there, specifically fans of the Grizzlies, who like to grouse on Twitter about how often they got to watch Zion Williamson on TV. But you know what? He draws eyeballs, and that shows, because they got another 9 games in the back half here on national TV. That includes a homestand against the LA Clippers on Sunday, March 14th. That's going to be on ESPN. They'll also be on TNT to face the Portland Trail Blazers the 2 nights later. They're going to be on national TV twice facing Anthony Davis and the Lakers here in New Orleans. That should be an interesting showdown if the fans are allowed back into the stadium at greater and greater numbers, as we've seen in the past few weeks. Well, one of those will be Tuesday, March 23rd. The other will be to close out the season Sunday, May 16th. So they're going to wrap up the season against Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Right before that, they have their biggest road trip of the back half. 5 straight on the road from Friday, May 7th until Friday, May 14th. That's going to include Philadelphia, Charlotte, Memphis, Dallas, and Golden State. And then, like I said, back home to close out the season at the Smoothie King Center against the Lakers. They face off with the Brooklyn Nets in primetime on Wednesday, April 7th. So there's still a lot of marquee games coming up for the Pelicans here. As you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing,
sure.
But you know, there's a lot left on the table for them. And if they can get on a little bit of a roll here, look, they're by no means are they out of it in terms of the playoff race in the West.
Yeah, Mark, I said they're still only 2.5 games out of 8th place in the West, and you look at the play-in games, which. I would expect them, hopefully, to be a part of that. And I think this is, Mark, I want you or Chris, to comment on this. I think this texter, you know how you go to a game and you want to take care of home court advantage? Because we always talk about, boy, can you go on the road? Like you talk about the 5-game road swing. Boy, you're like, boy, can we win 3 out of the 5? But you got to take care of home court. And this texter says from 9954, bottom line, Pelicans need to win home games. Then he has exclamation point, especially beating teams like Detroit tonight and Chicago. You know, those are games that you're playing at home in the Smoothie King Center. You have to expect to win. Would you agree with that, Mark, as far as, you know, it's not like, no, you're at home, you should win. It's not an upset. No, you should win.
No, I would agree. And they have been better at home this year than they have been on the road by a pretty large margin, which is saying something because their home record is only 8-7. But
right.
They've been pretty bad on the road, and that's why their record sits at 13-17. But with Detroit visiting tonight, look, the Pistons – upset them when they went to Detroit, I think it was last week, and that was a pretty bad loss for the Pelicans. So you got to figure they're not taking this team lightly. They just lost to them a few games ago. So the Pistons coming in at 9-22 tonight, that's a game that the Pelicans have got to get under their belt.
You know, Margaret Christian, you look at Zion being an NBA All-Star now. I thought this caught my attention because Kevin McHale and Charles Barkley, old school, they are household names. I look at Zion. He's averaging 25 points per game. He's shooting 61.5%. Only two players in NBA history have averaged 25 points and 60% shooting or better for an entire season. Kevin McHale did it in 86 and 87, and Charles Barkley in 1989 and 90. So you look at Zion, where his game's at, and how he's finishing. Because the bottom line, when you look at him in the paint, one of the best interior scorers right now, he's averaging right at 19 points per game. Look at the next closest player, who MVP, the Greek Freak. He's averaging 17 points. So here's Zion basically at 19 points. And, you know, nearly 85% of Zion's shots come within 4 feet of the basket, and he's converting 65% rate at that aspect and that part of the court. So the bottom line is Zion has shown his ability in the paint, but also how, you know, when you look at Coach Van Gundy, how they trust him as point Zion, you know, being a point guard and facilitating. You know, he grew his mom even said at the beginning he was a point guard. Then he outgrew the position because he was so massive. Now, if you look at point Zion, when he is a point guard and facilitating and everything, the rest of the league right now, New Orleans ranks fourth in points scored per 100 possessions since the start of the 2021 season when Zion's had the point guard position. So to me, that caught my attention. And, Mark, you're always saying, well, if you're a guard at times and they're going to foul you, you got to make your free throws. Well, he went from 64% to almost 71.5% where he's at now. So he's gotten better at the free throw line. And the bottom line with him at point guard, he's recorded 5 assists or more 6 times this season. And the Pelicans are undefeated.
His perimeter shooting has improved as well.
Yeah, it has.
But think about that. Van Gundy has to look at this and give him more opportunities because when he's at the point and he's assisting, he's part of those assists, 5 or more, this season they're undefeated. So, I mean, I don't know, keep trying to do that until maybe you lose.
As long as Zion's on the court in some form or fashion, typically good things are going to happen. I know defensively he's still trying to improve, but then offensively you can't argue with those numbers you just pointed out.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I was waiting for my chance to jump in here. Zion, you know, playing the point, I think we're going to see a lot more of that because, you know, Coach Van Gundy has said so. He said, you know, this was actually part of the plan they wanted to implement with him when Alvin Gentry was the coach last year, but Zion's knee surgery caused him to miss so many games that they weren't really able to incorporate this into his repertoire last season. Now you're starting to see it, and look, there's some good things that come from him running the point guard. Namely, you know he's got to touch the ball, and there are times this season when, you know, the ball really should go through Zion, and they kind of lose him, and they forget about him, which is mind-boggling in and of itself. But if he's running the point, then he's got to touch the ball every time down. You look at big men who have run the point in the past. You take a look at Magic Johnson. You know, he was what, 6'9",
yep,
and could easily play the point guard position when Byron Scott wasn't in the game. So I think there's a template for this. You know, people like to compare Zion to guys like Charles Barkley and bigger guys like that, but he's got the grace and he's got the handles to compare to guys like Magic Johnson as well. And look, when that freight train is coming at you from the top of the key, more often than not, you just see guys get out of the way.
Well, he even said he sees the floor better,
yes,
just his basketball knowledge and how he could dish and all that. And it makes sense. It's almost like a big quarterback and versus being on the side or down low, that if you had the point, you can facilitate better from there. And, you know, if you look at it, you say, why during the virus would you have an all-star game? You know, like, well, that's extra. That doesn't even count. But if you look at the all-star game year in and year out, how important it is for the NBA. You know, we've had it a couple of times here in New Orleans. has been what much more than just the game.
Yeah.
It's everything around it. Now, obviously, you cannot have that. But, you know, some of the players are protesting. I'm not really into the All-Star game right now. But when you look at it, it's just around the corner.
It's their version of the Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
The fan interest, yeah. Like the who's who.
Now,
that might be different, but they're not going to have those parties, Christian. Look, it's just around the corner. It's March the 7th in Atlanta. Now, Commissioner Adam Silver, he's basically called the event a made-for-TV event. They're going to have roughly 1,000 fans in the stands, and they're going to do the skills challenge, three-point contest, dunk contest. It's all going to take place on the same night on the main event. So there's going to be a lot packaged in there on that one night. Consider, you know, you casually look at the skills challenge, the three-point contest, dunk contest. We're always intrigued with that, but it's going to be the same night as the game. And then you look on March the 4th, Lakers, LeBron James, and Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, they're going to choose their teams from the pool of 22 players. So it is happening. And that is almost, if you're a casual basketball fan and you intrigue with these great performers, that you'd want to watch that on March 7th because there's a lot going on in that one day.
Yeah, they have traditionally the All-Star game for the NBA. What I mean by it's their Super Bowl is because of the things that they can have over the course of the All-Star weekend. It does the same thing as leading up to the Super Bowl the week prior to the pandemic, things that would go on. Same thing that goes on in the Super Bowl where you can do several. They got the media days and they've got so many different events leading up to fan-related stuff. So it's a big event for them. I'm glad they're still having it.
Well, not just that, but you take a look at the NBA Finals. It doesn't take place in a weekend. It takes place over the course of a week. You get people coming in and out watching the games. This is a condensed weekend of big events that they can, you know, focus television on and say, look, here's where all the stars are going to be.
Well, and to me, Mark and Christian, if you look at, like, okay, the 21st century and different times, look, the Major League All-Star Game, to me, that was always intriguing. You know, Home Run Derby, all what came about. The Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl.
Sticks.
To me, that's like they've taken a back seat. But the NBA All-Star Game has to be the most intriguing all major sports. When you look at NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, that's why, to me, they had to have this NBA All-Star game because you have those individuals. And people want to see the three-point contest. They want to see a dunk contest.
And they want to see a game end like 180 to 160.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is the Pelicans sometimes playing All-Star defense? I mean, when you score 120 and you still lose? I mean, because it could be like, 152 to 148. And the one thing in an All-Star game, though, in NBA, because at the end, it's a lot of pride involved, they do play defense.
Yeah.
It might be the last, we can win this thing, last 3 or 4 minutes.
And it's a lot of isolation, like one-on-one.
Right,
because
right.
You don't have time to implement some type of scheme with
right,
these guys.
Right.
There's no communication. That's why the defense is what it is in the All-Star game.
Plus, it's, you know, a scaled-back version. They don't want to get hurt what they would consider a meaningless game. So why take those fouls then?
Speaking of getting hurt, Bobby, you know, it's been a while since we talked about, like, throwing Christian into situations where like, hip-checked by Steve Cord on the skating rink or whatever. What about Zion coming down the lane, rumbling from the top of the key, and we have Christian take a charge?
I'm Ole in that. Ole!
No,
well,
I think he would pull. I think recently I saw in a game JJ Redick kind of did an Ole, and then because then you're not really getting dunked on. You know what I mean, Christian? You just kind of
Bobby. You and I are about.
You can't get posterized if you're not in the poster.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I are about 6 feet apart. This is about the time I would start bailing. I would just flop right now.
No, Chris, you just pretend that you tripped and maybe just go
low.
But then he would jump over you and slam it.
Well,
right?
He could probably jump over me if I was standing straight up. So let's be honest. Let's be clear about that. I am not a fan of you two coming up with plans to see bodily injury to me. I don't do that to either one of you two. And in particular, prior to the pandemic, I was constantly, my right shoulder was constantly sore from this guy during a post game from getting punched in the arm.
But Christian, listen, you can raise a lot of money for charity. You know, that people would pay to see that.
I do it for vets.
It'd be a good sport.
For veterans, you know, any kind of veterans help, then yeah, I'd gladly do it. I'd take a charge from Zion.
Christian, let me tell you, I hosted the Point After for 4 weeks for you, and I was in a different room from Bobby, and my arm was still sore. He still found a way to come in here and punch me in the arm.
Well, I was looking at Mark. Did you see that? I was like,
the pandemic, Bobby, we have to remind him from time to time. Hey,
social distance.
Can't do that.
I have a Bobby pole. Just stay back.
Yeah,
stay
6 feet. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, we will step away and come back here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Mark Menard at Master Control, waiting your phone calls at 504-260-1870. What does your gut tell you? Do you think we'll have NFL and college football stadiums at full throat with fans in the stands at almost full capacity, or 75% perhaps this fall? 504-260-1870. Bobby leans more on the 75 percentile part of that, but I think
some of
these universities.
Well, the only reason why I say that, because that's what the NFL came out with. You know, you kind of followed the lead dog. But like I said, Texas A&M said we're going 100%.
But technically, if a mayor of a certain city doesn't want it, or the governor doesn't want 75%, they can mandate their own.
Now, what's going to be interesting, who I would say maybe would not be to capacity or 75%, would be teams in California.
Well, here in New Orleans, too, with LaToya Cantrell. I don't think she'd be interested in 75% either.
Yeah, but I think in the Deep South, we tend to lean more maybe – with the league, with the SEC, or maybe the NFL one.
She didn't do it this past
year. Well, yeah, but because there's no reason to do it. But if all of a sudden it's trending in the right direction, the point being where I'm looking at, you got the Chargers, you have the Rams, you got the 49ers. That'll be interesting to see, even if the NFL wants that. Or in New York, let's say the Jets, Giants, well, they have 75%.
We'll see as we get closer. And again, we're holding out hope. Bobby, you and I were talking about this during the break. You think because of the vaccine is now being rolled out, and I guess you can start to see a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel. So that gives big reason to be optimistic.
And the light at the end of a tunnel is not a train coming to run you over.
That happened already.
It's a positive light.
That happened already when the pandemic started.
So we stepped off the track. Now we're back on the track, and it's a positive light.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. LSU taking on ULL tonight on the baseball diamond as well. First road trip for the Tigers tonight. And that's a matchup, Bobby, we're not carrying live, but I'm going to watch. I'm going to stream while we're in between commercials. And, man, that game's going to be a big test for LSU. I would not be surprised if ULL beats them.
Well, they beat them the last three times they played. Now, LSU overall in the series has had the Raging Cajuns number, but not the last three times. LSU's – now, they didn't play last year, but they lost them three times in a row. And look at UL and Tulane. Boy, talk about entertaining baseball. Every game went into extra innings.
That's good stuff.
Tulane won the first, and then UL won the next two. So, no, it's going to be a challenge. Now, Christian, we're all kind of intrigued. Always look at the starting pitchers. But look at freshman Garrett Edwards. He's going to make his first start. And it was, if you look at his lone inning Saturday against Air Force, he had a couple of strikeouts. And the one thing Palmieri, I know, loves this, that he had control of his breaking ball, but he threw 10 of his 14 pitches for strikes. So
that's good command.
And then, you go on the road. Now it's not going to be a hostile environment like if you had a full house in Lafayette. But still, you're not at the box. So you pitch in on adverse situations on the road. Like can Paul Maneri, Coach Maneri, rely on Edwards in the SEC on the road? This is all part of the process. And to see if he's, you'd want him to succeed and be that midweek starter. But if he has the most success, you can see him being utilized also on the weekend.
I love Paul Maneri's quote. I think it was Sunday after the freshman tie. His last name's escaping me right now, but he's the one with Aaron George that had that combined blown save opportunity. And he was asked about, why would you put a freshman in that situation? And his response was, well, would you rather it be in the SEC tournament? are in the SEC conference play.
Right. You got to get some skins on the wall.
Well, you got to know who your team is. Yeah, you got to know what you – and look, he's going to get another opportunity. It doesn't – just because he messed this one up, he's going to get another opportunity for Mannary. If he messes that one up, then,
well, not going to look good. You know, Coach Mannary's kind of looking, can I get maybe five innings out of him? But he's going to get that opportunity, and now he has to succeed. Because you look at the bullpen – you know, those midweek games, you might see a handful of pitchers when all said and done. And including the kid from Jesuit, you know, who's primarily a pitcher, Will Helmers. All of a sudden you can see, okay, didn't quite work out with the errors at third base, but okay, go pitch.
Yeah.
And let's see what you could do.
And Paul Mannary said yesterday with us that, or on Monday, no, yesterday, he said that it was his decision and his idea, and it exploded in his face, and he takes the heat for it.
And the pitcher they're going to be going against, who pitched against Tulane, a sophomore right-hander, Connor Cook, Christian, it was kind of like feast or famine. He was striking out batters with Tulane, or he was walking them. So look and see the discipline of the players for LSU's roster hitting against him. Do they help the pitcher, or are they disciplined at the plate and take those walks? So, no, it's an intriguing game early in the season tonight against University of Louisiana Lafayette.
Phone lines are open as well at 504-260-1870. Do you think LSU basketball will end up making the NCAA tournament? We're going to have Jerry Palm on later on to break down the Tigers' chances, and also across the NCAA men's basketball team and our men's basketball landscape in general. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. LSU trying to get in, LSU men's hoop trying to get into the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Bobby, didn't go well last night in Georgia at all for Will Wade's squad.
Well, transition defense overall. You look, when Georgia came to town, what was, I think it was 94-92, it was unbelievable. They ended up winning, and, you know, you look at matchups, and, boy, one thing Coach Will Wade does not pull any punches. He went on to say, Christian, they were more physical. They beat us to the loose balls. They played with a better spirit than we did. And then he also added, he goes, like I said, it was a total embarrassment. I feel bad for our fans, all of our fans. I feel bad for everybody who follows our program. It was laughable, our effort, and it starts with me. Whoa, you know, being held accountable. And the one thing that occurred, you know, always like history, no matter what level.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Georgia, their first player ever to have a first triple-double in the program's history. A point guard, Sevier, if I'm pronouncing that right, Wheeler, who had 21 points at overtime loss to LSU in Baton Rouge back in January the 6th. He finished with 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists. And then Kamara, not Alvin Kamara, but Tumani Kamara, he had a double-double, 22 points and 10 rebounds. Christian, it was just bad. This is a game that LSU, if you think you're really trending in the right direction, because they had an opportunity to be like a half a game ahead of the Razorbacks in the SEC as far as tonight Arkansas is playing Alabama. So I expect Alabama to win, but LSU didn't take care of the opportunity. They got out rebounded 47-40. Now, if you look at LSU, shot better than 51% in each of the past three games, but then it was all settled in the first half. Christian, especially what occurred in the final few minutes, it was kind of like a one-point game. Then they were outscored 21-6 over the final 5 minutes and a half in the first half. Then they trailed 45-29 at the break. And, look, the past three games, like I said, they shot 51%, but they struggled in the first half, hitting only 33.3% from the field, 25% from beyond the arc, and to play a big role, why they were losing by 16 points at half. But the bottom line, they didn't get it done all the way around, Coach Wade said they embarrassed us. They just whipped us, and it was a setback, 91-78. So they played Georgia twice. Georgia's not even going to be in the NCAA tournament, and they gave up 90-plus points.
It's not the first time Will Wade has said something similar to that this year.
He calls the team out.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to is he's had to say something similar to that three or four times this year. So is that is the message getting through to the team?
I think it is, but it depends on the matchups. I think if you got a point guard who could penetrate, we don't really have that guy that could like play stout defense because you want to have guys that are scoring. So you have guys that you put in there like smart that all of a sudden you like their offensive game, but then not necessarily a lot to be desired as far as containing a guy like Wheeler. But also down low, the one thing with LSU, they give up way too many offensive rebounds. In the first half, that was one of the main deficiencies this season. It's been like way too many second chance points given of these offensive rebounds, and George and them having 16 of those. So it was just a bad performance. LSU had a lot to play for, to build upon. I mean, I don't think they're going to fall apart and not make the tournament, but it all could affect the seeding and where you seeded. I don't think they're going to go on a losing streak, lose four or five, and then you're threatening, like, you can't lose to a team like Vanderbilt when that comes about. But a very disappointing loss, even though it was on the road in Athens for Coach Wilway, because he thought they were going to build upon what they've done lately, winning three games in a row, and laid an egg against Georgia.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Jerry Palm will join us next hour. He's CBS Sports College basketball senior writer, and he's great at breaking down the projections as to who could get in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And as Bobby kind of laid out, LSU laid an egg and hurt their chances of potentially getting into and qualifying for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And this has been a weird year in college basketball in general. I mean, Duke's had their ups and downs. Kentucky's not been very good at times.
Well, all of the blue bloods, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky. I think the only blue blood that kind of turned the corner.
Gonzaga?
They were always good. I'm looking at more traditional, like Kansas. Kansas back in the fold. Kentucky, as of late, has played well. Be interesting to see where they're at. But the normal blue bloods, whether – you know, and I'm going to talk about that when we break down the March Madness. Is that primarily because of the pandemic and the virus? And I think it has a lot to do with, like, a team like Gonzaga or even like Baylor. And you look where they're at 1-2 or 2-1, is that they had so many returning players that's why they're so efficient compared to, like, one-and-done programs like Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, or even Kansas, or they go in the NBA, so they have no continuity to be able to be successful.
And one thing we learned about teams, regardless of sports this year, and it kind of flies in the face, the Bucks fly in the face of that, but, man, the teams that had continuity were the teams that advanced, not just in the NFL, but in general.
Well, yeah, and that's why you say, well, Tampa Bay didn't have any continuity, but they had Tom Brady, who makes continuity, and they all buy into what he's saying. Because it was really an all-star team. And listen, I don't know if the NFL planned this. They might have. Who knows? They gave him that bye week. You remember it was like they already had played. They were 7-5. Mm-hmm. They won 8 games in a row. And how they all eventually came together. Don't you think right now that Tampa Bay's in the thick of things next season?
Yes.
Or the favorite in the NFC? I mean, you might say it's hard to repeat, you know, and win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. But just the stability of the players that they have, I mean, that's...
I will officially declare life unfair if Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl, brings it to 8 next year. I would just say...
Well, they have a chance.
I know. I'm just... Yeah. Like, he will have then lived a charmed life enough for 8 human beings.
Well, and good for him getting out of New England, because it's like, who's the Patriots quarterback? What are they going to do? The great Bill Belichick, can they even get to 10 wins? I mean, are they going to be 500 or below again?
You know, everybody speculated why he wanted a divorce from Bill Belichick, and it was about the pieces around him. And really, what we found out is he wanted to be able to have some input, and he also wanted to have some fun, because Bill Belichick can wear you out, just like Nick Saban can.
Well, see a lot of coaches, they go and come with Nick Saban, but it's amazing that coaching tree, different opportunities. You get that on your resume. But the one thing about the Patriots, I think if they did have the supporting cast, that Tom Brady would have not – he would not have wanted to get out. Like Gronkowski, he's like, okay, I want to have fun and play. I want to have fun and play. I don't want to just play and win. I also want to have fun. That's
no days off. That got old.
That's when Gronkowski comes out of retirement.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be interested to see who do you pay. To me, I'm a Chris Godwin fan. As far as their receiving core, who are you going to pay? To me, still, it has to be a team-friendly deal to bring back Gronkowski. The reason why I say that, you know who was hurt and who they're counting on in the future? And I think he's legit, O.J. Howard. And your Cameron Brate. So they have three. That one. They have three tight ends. The Saints. We just trying to get one.
Yeah. You know, hold on to the football.
Yeah. Think of where we at right now.
Jerry Palm leads off next hour. CBS Sports College Basketball senior writer. He's Bobby. I'm Christian. One down. Three to go here on Sports Talk on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.